Slick Nerd Pro. What up, John G? Appreciate you for having us in the building. Never know who gon' slide through for the part. It's Slick Nerd Pro and John G the God. Best from the future and the past and the broad. From the underground kings to the full-blown stars. Heard they won the 16 but got the short bars. Matchbox racing all these small sports cars. Best hangout in the city, you should come and see. John G's podcast got a posse.
I ain't tripping off no amateurs, they never got the stamina. Talk some real shit with the podcast cannibal. John got a posse, tell me who gon' stop me. My bitch big bodied, I call her Maserati. Woo. Stay tuned for them topics, informed on that hot shit. You here for them real vibes, fuck the gossip. Haters play possum, we fucking up their posse. Yeah. Crashing in their party, you rocking with the posse.
I have a really cool theme song now. I had this rap group named Slick Nerd Pro, like, on the show, and then I asked them to do my theme song, and they came That's back awesome. With this really awesome theme. So I'll play it for you after the thing. But at this point, it's played for the people, you know? So, Binko, yeah. I appreciate you being here. This is, like, awesome. I haven't seen you in a while.
I know.
Yeah, what's going on?
You know, just trying to hop back into everything. I just finished up a Christmas gig, and I was a dock master. I was in charge of forklift operators and unloading trucks and loading them, and it was a whole new domain for me, but I'm like the queen of inventory, so it was very exciting, but
yeah,
you know, I'm back to working in a wood shop, so.
Yeah. That's where you were coming from today, right?
Yeah, literally came straight here. Just drove in 45 minutes traffic, got here.
Right. You're there every day. Do you still do site gigs, or are you kind of in the warehouse most of the time?
So right now until the end of April, I'm literally working Monday through Friday, and that's weird for me.
Okay.
I have not worked a 9-to-5
yeah.
Monday through Friday. I can't even remember the last time I did that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm doing that for now because we're preparing some work for...
Okay.
So can't really say where, but it's pretty cool.
That's awesome. Yeah. So when is that taking place roughly? Springtime?
Yeah, it's the end of April.
Gotcha.
And we're not even the ones who are going to be installing it. So it's kind of we're just fabricating it and sending it out. But
okay. What does that mean? You're just designing the pieces for it, or?
So basically I'm working with another person who helped put all the things together, and he makes the files to send to a CNC machine. And then we cut the steel for it
right.
and all this stuff. So I'm learning about a whole bunch of new machinery, and I'm working with steel now. And, you know, I'm working with wood more and covered in sawdust, you know, constantly.
Yeah, I think we actually, because I work a 9-to-5 now, but I was freelance for years. And I think I worked in a similar situation. I kind of remember being a scenic department. I was always in audio. So that just turned into pushing cases and wrapping feeder cable and, you know, getting it ready to ship for shows and mm-hmm. then also sending it back and putting it on the shelves and all that kind of stuff. So
funny story. I actually sprained my wrist on feeder cable.
Really?
I was looming a bunch of stuff, and I just was throwing it over my shoulder because it was
yeah.
real thick
uh-huh.
and I just tweaked my wrist a little bit, and then I was oh, I'm fine, and then I came back the next day, did the same thing, and oops.
It's always that thing on gigs. I just it just sits there until the end, because everyone tries to avoid it until they have to, because it's hundreds of feet long usually, and it's heavy as shit, and no one wants to mess with it. So how long have you been doing scenic type stuff for ShowPro?
So I have been doing that pretty much for the last year and some change now. I was not in any production or anything like that up until last year.
Oh, really? Okay.
I busted on the scene and I was really excited, and I came in as a carp, and I was just wow, I love this. Cause everything that I have ever done is just self-taught. So it
okay.
wasn't super official.
Right.
But you know, I'm kind of a perfectionist, so I try my best, but it's not necessarily like to the point of knowing the terms and like knowing what the tools are called and you know, but I mean, I'm learning now, but
yeah.
Like I had some experience before that, but not in the same way.
I think I know what you mean. So
just building stuff for me and for things and for events or whatever, but not anything official or with a company.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. Like, how did you get involved then?
My friend literally said, oh my gosh, I need another carpenter on this gig. I don't know what I'm going to do. We can't find somebody reliable. And I was like, I know enough. I could be a carp.
Yeah.
I could totally be a carpenter. And then like I came in and I just like started grabbing all the tools and telling everybody like what to do. And I was like, whoa, like this is cool. Like didn't mean to do that, but it was just kind of like a.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was awesome.
Crew life to me, it's like, it seems like a tight knit like group, you know what I mean? Cause there's the people that gigs all the time or they're traveling all the time and everyone's kind of like jumping around to this different sites and places like that. So that world and that community was like, I remember it being like this energy and this kind of, it's a cool thing, but I don't know if it's necessarily for everyone either, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I was down in a lot of the Smithsonian buildings a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
The Mellon Auditorium a good amount, like doing gigs there.
I finally just went there. The Masonite, that's the worst part. Having to lay down the Masonite.
Oh, yeah, yeah, exactly.
Because you have to pick it up with your fingers. Like,
yep.
Your fingertips are so strong after that. Like, you could totally go rock climbing. Like,
oh, my God. That alone takes me back is, yeah, just having to lay out all the Masonite to get cases into the building and stuff. That's.
Yep. And underneath the stage and everything, like.
It has been a while. I did mostly stagehand stuff. Probably could have gotten more into like A1, A2 territory, but I also just like doing load-ins and load-outs, like getting to go and like,
yeah,
all right, see you later, and then come back and like everyone's applauding for like the final curtain and you're just like, oh, cool, now it's my turn to like just wrap this
like
all up.
Like you catch a little bit of like whatever the event was and you're like, oh, I didn't realize that the president was here.
Yeah.
Like, what?
I remember doing a hotel gig where it was like a networking event and then they did a Spanish language version of like America's Got Talent. Like they had like the judges and people got on stage and it was all in Spanish, but they were just doing it in that format and they wanted it filmed and like, you know, to look like the show, which was kind of cool. So
that's cool.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was, I think that was in Baltimore and it was a weekend gig. I haven't done too much like travel or like overnight gigs, but I remember they like put me in the hotel for like the weekend. I thought that was like the coolest thing. I was like, oh my gosh, like I just get to hang out here and work and get paid. I guess it was kind of cool. So
yeah, like so this year for the gig that I did for Christmas, I was put up in a hotel, but the memorable one was I did the loadout for Harry Potter last year. They did like the Harry Potter gig in Virginia.
Okay.
And for whatever reason, I think I was on like lighting. Wow. I'm honestly not even sure because all the cables were already like detached. I didn't look to see like what kind of cable it was.
Yeah.
I was just coiling everything.
Mm-hmm.
And like literally you wake up in the hotel, you go through, it literally rained the whole time. So we're just in the mud pulling out all this cable and it's just slop.
Yeah.
Like, so I, you know, like that was pretty cool because like it was like an honest day's work, it felt like, because you know, it's heavy and you're in the mud and you're dirty. And then like you go to the hotel afterward, pass out, go do it again. Like, I love that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. You never know what you're going to get into when you're like traveling, like especially like whatever area that was in Virginia, I've never been to. And it was total like farm country.
Yeah.
Like it was just nice to kind of get away for that too.
Do you travel a lot for work?
I haven't really started to very much yet. I think it's on the horizon though.
Okay.
Like for now, I mean, I'm just working in the shop. I'm going to learn how to weld. Like I'll take it.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like getting a paid apprenticeship.
Basically.
Yeah.
Literally.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I got very lucky. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
I'm just going to keep working hard at it and keep the job, though, because I don't want him not to like me. You know?
Yeah, I remember Warehouse being pretty cool. It's chill. It's just sort of like you get into a routine. It's actually where I listen to like a lot of podcasts in that kind of environment, you know, just when you get into like the zone of organizing and moving things around. So I think part of that is also sort of what helped generate the interest to do this kind of stuff. Podcasting became interesting to me, something that I kind of wanted to get into because of, you know, that kind of time of,
yeah, it's cool,
you know, having to spend either at work or just getting into the groove of things. So besides, like, so I mean, we could talk about crew life for a while, but you yourself are an artist and do, like, I don't even know, you do all kinds of stuff. We hung out once and you're like, oh yeah, I put up this installation on this fence here, and you know,
It be like
and
that.
And it sounded like you've done a good amount of stuff around town over the years, like installations or murals and things like that. So I guess, did you get into art from a young age? And
so I had a babysitter that was one of my dad's like best friends growing up. And I would always go over her house, and she gave me my first sketchbook, or at least that I remember. I still have it.
Wow.
It was like a hard sketchbook, like a hardback or whatever.
Yeah.
Is that what it's called? Hardback?
Yes. Hardcover?
Hardcover.
Yeah.
It was a hardcover.
Yeah.
But she drew the first page.
Yeah.
And like, I'll never forget it. It was like a dragon that was like bashful.
Okay.
And then like on the next page, she started a picture of a deer, because I guess probably because my dad was super into deer and he hunts and stuff. So
yeah.
She probably thought like, oh, you'll finish the picture. So like, she really got my creativity flowing from a young age. Like, I didn't really harness it until I got older. Like, I was always like the person in art class that was really like overzealous for the project. But like, I never really did anything with it until I started doing chalk art in like 2015.
Okay.
So, I mean, yeah, I've like always been creative, but 2015 was kind of when all of this started for me.
Okay.
Beyond just like a doodle and,
so
know.
What was the chalk art thing?
So I'm chalk girl.
Okay.
It's supposed to be kind of like tank girl, but with chalk, I had a bandolier that I put all my chalk pieces in. Okay. So I could just like climb up on a ladder and just like whip it out and just like draw with that color, put it back in the bandolier.
Yeah.
I had a pocket that had all my erasers in it and stuff. Like, I was really passionate about that for a while. I did it for years, and I actually still get hit up to do chalk murals and like signage and things for like restaurants, like their menus.
Okay.
I've kind of shied away from it a little bit because I have met new chalk artists that I try to give my work to.
Okay.
Like, if I've seen that they have potential, I'm like, oh, you could totally go on the path that I just went on.
Yeah.
Like, here, you should take this. Because it, you know, I've kind of shied away from it and started doing other things, but
okay.
Yeah, I really enjoy getting my hands dirty. And then, you know, one day I was kind of like, wow, I really hate watching this get erased like once a week, or like, you know, watching a drunk person just
doing all that work and then it just can get messed up or goes away. It's like temporary. Yeah.
There was this one restaurant I will not name, but they literally said, oh, we want like a chalk drawing or something on this wall. And, you know, like I explained to them, like, you're in a high volume bar, you're going to need like paint pens or something.
Yeah.
Like, it can't be real chalk. And they're like, no, we want chalk. We want chalk. First time they opened that night, as soon as they opened, somebody put their back up against the wall and just smeared all over it. And they were like, oh, I thought you said it would stay. And I'm like, I said the hairspray would help.
Yeah.
Like, it's, you know, you got to paint that on when there's like a packed bar.
Yeah.
But that's kind of when I was like, this is heartbreaking. I was working for a couple different restaurants pretty regularly. Like, one was a really big chain, and I was thinking about doing like a tour, like a chalk tour.
Yeah.
I was going to go to all their different restaurants throughout the country. And they actually liked me for it. They were like, yeah, we're thinking about it.
Yeah.
So I was like, ooh, this could be cool. And then they claimed bankruptcy. So, so I kind of just like, you know, fell away from it a little bit. I was so into it though, that, you know, it was like once a week I would have to change like each different restaurant's thing. And I had like 7 to 8 different locations in the immediate area.
Yeah.
So I was like busy. It takes hours and hours. And like just going in the next week and then just, I would always make like a video of me sad face like, oh, it's gotta go. Like I drew a couple characters a couple times that I was like, I really don't want to erase Beavis and Butthead, but yeah. Got to. But yeah, that was also kind of like a expectation of like drawing things that already exist too.
Okay.
So it wasn't as creative. Like I was able to choose what I drew for things, but at the same time, they would request characters like
pop
sometimes.
Pop culture references and stuff, yeah.
Which is cool, but like, you know, luckily I never got in trouble.
Oh, right, yeah.
But I mean, it was just kind of like, well, I'd rather make my own thing. But, you know, you have to like pay your dues first and do what the other people want till you can do what you want. So that was what I thought chalk art was for me.
Okay.
So
how did that start to evolve? Like where'd you move after chalk?
Paint.
Okay.
It's so embarrassing to admit that, and I will name drop here. when I was just a chalk artist, I knew nothing about painting. Literally, I never owned a paintbrush, like, of my own.
Wow.
So I went to Beth Ann Wilson, and I was like, hey, I need some paintbrushes. I've got to do a job. And she was like, oh, no problem, homie. Just make sure you clean them afterward. And I was just like, oh, yeah, I got to clean them. Like, duh, you've got to clean them. You've got to give them back.
Yeah.
And that was just so stupid to me, thinking back on that now, that I was just like, oh, I'll just use the brushes and whatever. Like, I didn't think anything of it.
Yeah.
Like, she just straight up said, just make sure you clean them. And I'm like, oh yeah, like I've got to give these back to you. And I felt so stupid. But basically like it's just having friends like Beth Ann, and I eventually moved in with one of her friends, Patrick Harnett, and he was a muralist, and that kind of like sent a whole new creativity for me. Like it just was inspiring, and just being around all these other artists, and you know, it all kind of started there. Like for me blossoming a little more was just like having the friends like Beth Ann and Patrick and just fostering that positive energy to create. Because I feel like people didn't really even know who I was for a very long time. And I've been here since 2010.
Yeah.
And like, I didn't really have a voice, you know, like I wasn't really like very outgoing because I didn't know what to do.
Sure.
And then, I don't know, once I just got more comfortable, and then people were like, oh, wow, like I saw you did like this thing down the street. Like that was you, right? Like I recognize your handwriting now. Like that's the coolest feeling.
That's awesome.
I don't know. I started doing things for restaurants. Like during the pandemic even, there were a few different places that did like the outdoor seating thing.
Yeah.
And one of them had like a spool, and they wanted me to like paint their name. Like I think it was maybe Waterfront. I think it was Waterfront Hotel.
Okay. Cool.
I painted like a spool outside for their outdoor dining, and I put like Black Eyed Susans around it and stuff. And It just kind of became a thing where people would walk past it and be like, oh, Brittany did that. Like, oh shit. Like, so like, I don't know. It's just kind of a propeller for all this too. Like not the notoriety so much, but just feeling like being seen. And I don't know, being noticed is nice,
sure,
but like
yeah.
The fact that people are excited to be like, I know that person. That's really cool.
You're right.
I'm really excited when I see something that my friend did. So I'm just like, it's awesome. Like, why not? Yeah, I don't know. It's evolved into so much more than that now.
Okay.
Like, I'm bored with paint.
Really?
Now. So
we're moving on from paint. I was going to ask, like, so do you remember your first mural? You've done, I'm assuming you've done a mural. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. It's like, I'm not a visual artist, so I don't know what the trajectory is of these sorts of things, you know?
Good question, because I'm not sure if this was the first one. And I'm sure that it's going to be news to him that it was my first. But I think it was Gage Digital Media in Westminster. I did like a wall in there.
Okay.
Like the office people would come in and like do their consultations and stuff. So they wanted like a nice big like logo wall.
Okay.
And it was just like a couple colors, and it took a while. But it was like really good practice for straight lines, especially. And yeah, I just got really comfortable from that, because then it was like, oh, I don't have to just do straight lines. I can explore with more stuff.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
So how many murals have you done? Is it a lot?
Oh, I don't know, because I've done chalk murals. I've done paintings.
That's, yeah,
I've done physical murals that you can touch and stuff. So like,
gotcha.
I don't know.
Okay.
It's really not that many.
Yeah.
But a lot of the
Because it's a lot of physical space to, you know, occupy, right?
Yeah.
So it's not like everyone's just going to be like, oh, we need more murals. You know, it's sort of a very specific choice. So there's only so many opportunities, I guess, to do one, essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now what? You said you're bored with paint.
So you mean like what came next?
Yeah, sure. I don't know. Yeah, I guess if we're going chronological.
Because, like, it gets a little blurry.
Okay. I'm assuming sculpture got involved somehow.
So that did start shortly after I did like a bunch of like window paintings and stuff like that for like things. And then I was like, all right, like this is great, but I'm not being super creative. So then I started doing artist gifts for sold out shows for music venues.
Okay.
So like, for example, what was the first one I did? It was either John Waters or... No, it was Willow Smith.
Nice.
Yeah, I was literally just hired to make, like, a poster that was, like, a cartoon kind of thing of Willow. And it was her with Edward Scissorhands sitting on the car from the movie.
Okay.
And apparently, like, Will Smith, like, came up to the poster and like picked it up and smiled at it, and that's all I had to hear.
Yeah.
It's like, pretty cool. But that, like, literally somebody just posted, which now this person is my friend.
Yeah.
Thank you, Teresa. But like, she posted and somebody tagged me, and I think it was Mandy, tagged me and said, hey, I know a cartoonist. And then it just started a whole thing for like a couple of years where like eventually I got to paint custom bands for Lil Wayne. Like, I mean, I made a gift for John Waters. It was like really tacky and fun. It was like a snarling rat and like a Baltimore City bench that was broken, and the rat was like digging into it, and there was like a dumpster fire with a heart behind it, and like but he wrote me a postcard for it. It was pretty awesome.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The postcard had like his shoe collection on the back, and I was like, that's so cute. I got a call from his office or whatever, and I didn't recognize the number, and I was going pee. I picked it up. I'm going pee, and they're just like, John Waters' office. And I'm like, I'm so happy I'm on the toilet right now, because yeah. I just piddled.
Yeah. That's really cool.
So random.
Yeah, so he, like, or how much creative freedom do you get with, like, what the gift is? Or did they, like, with Lil Wayne, did they say, like, paint these vans? Or did you kind of go, like...
So for Lil Wayne, it was, like an interview that he... So this is kind of, like, the process, right? So, like,
sure.
You get the artist, and then you have to do research on them. So, like, you have to watch their interviews where they've said, oh, I love the color pink. Oh, I love this, whatever. And yeah. Then you just have to make something based on that. So
sure.
It's personal.
Okay.
Him in particular, they found a clip of an interview where he said, oh, I miss those pink and black checkered vans that are discontinued.
Yeah.
And they were like, can you do that? And I was like, sure, I've never painted shoes before, but why not? So, you know, then I added like the lettering on the side, but like, you know, that part was easy because it was just like his... steady mobbing and like,
yeah,
shit like that, like Wheezy F Baby,
right?
But yeah, it's crazy because the most famous people that I've made things for have actually came back and said thank you.
Oh, that's awesome.
Like Lil Wayne sent me a video on Instagram through like his cousin's Instagram so that it would actually be like seen if I responded.
Oh, okay.
And she sent it to me and said, Wayne wanted me to send this to you. And it was just like,
thank you, Brittany.
She's holding up the shoe. Yeah. I'm like, oh my God. It's so funny.
That's amazing.
It's so cool.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So are you still doing artist gifts? Have you done, like, what's the last one you've done, if you remember?
Man, The last one. Well, I can't remember because I think it was somebody I didn't really know that well.
Okay.
Because it's been a minute since I did it. They kind of go through waves, it seems like busy season, I end up getting a lot more, and then sometimes they kind of just like chill out with the gifts.
Okay.
I haven't gotten anything in a while, but also I'm kind of like too busy to do it now. I hope they don't hear this because I'll totally do it if they ask me to. But, you know, like, I don't know. One of the last ones that I did was actually one of the first times that I heard the person didn't care for it.
Really?
And he left it in the dressing room. He didn't necessarily say anything about it, but he just left it there.
Wow.
And let me tell you, this is the dumbest thing I've ever made, but it makes sense for the person.
Okay.
So, sorry, but like I made him a freaking farting mouth sculpture. Like you push a button and it farts.
Okay.
And it was just like a mouth that was like snarling with its tongue out, just like and he didn't like it.
He didn't like it.
Which I mean
I saw the he's gonna scoff at that. Jeez.
Yeah. So that was a little disappointing.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't really know what happened there. But I think it's funny to talk about, like, your failures, too. Because,
sure,
like,
but it's also fun. Like, you had to sit around and be like, what does need? And you're probably, like, watching clips and stuff. And you're like, farting mouth sculpture. Yeah.
Literally. Like, yeah. I mean, I've been watching for a long time. And, like, I don't know. It was a little disappointing, but at the same time, I was like, yeah, I probably wouldn't have kept the farting mouth sculpture either. Like, it was probably fun to push the button a couple of times.
Yeah,
it's
like, where do I
it.
Put this thing? Yeah.
So I actually made up a name for it. And when I wrote him a note, I put like the name of it in there. And I was like, I dub the Fartmouth. It's fart mouth.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Fartmouth. Fartmouth.
He probably read this like, dude, this is the worst thing I've ever seen. But
yeah,
I don't know. One of the last ones might have actually been oh man, I love this guy too in the league. Oh, what's his name? The one that takes the estrogen and gets the titties. Did you watch The League?
I did. It's been a while.
I can't remember. It's been a while and I've got a brain fart.
Yeah.
But him and this other guy that was in The Good Place as well.
Okay, yeah.
Did you watch that?
I know what it is. Is that Christina Applegate?
No, it's Kristen Bell.
Oh, that's, yeah.
There's a character called Derek and he's like a AI kind of thing.
Okay.
But he's in a podcast with, I can't remember his name, and a chick. And it's like about movies. Why was this made or something like that?
That sounds familiar. Yeah.
Yeah. I made them like a poster for whatever. I can't remember what it was. It was like a Gremlin knockoff kind of thing.
Okay.
But it's them sitting in like the theater seats and they're all like making faces. And then like above is the movie poster of like what they were showing that night.
Right.
That was probably the last thing that I made.
Okay.
But that kind of stuff is cool because they can sign it and give a copy to the venue or like they can take copies with them. And that's like the easiest thing. Something flat they can actually take.
Right.
Like instead of having it shipped. But I think like the one that I was most excited about because I got a phone call as soon as he saw it saying he wants to meet you was Ben Schwartz. The worst. The guy from Parks and Rec that had the big hair, John Ralphio.
Oh man. I
he was the voice of the new Sonic.
I'm sure I've seen him and I know who you're talking about, but
he did something on Netflix as well. It was like Middle Ditch and Schwartz. It was like an improv thing. He's huge on improv.
Yeah.
It was an improv show.
Cool.
I was going already to the show.
Yeah.
So I was already right there.
Oh, that's amazing.
And it was my friend's birthday present.
Yeah.
Because I could get in and I was like, well, we're going to get balcony seats. It's going to be cool.
Yeah.
And we're having dinner and I'm literally like drinking because I'm just like, oh, I'm so nervous. Like, what if he wants to meet me?
Right.
And then I get the call from the GM like, hey, not only did he love your gift, he wants to meet you. And I'm like, oh, I have to stop drinking right now. Like, holy crap. And so we watched the show and then we did like a after party kind of thing. And he talked to every single other person before me. And then my friend was really excited and it was really cute. And he finally got to me and was like, you've got to be Brittany. And I'm like, shut up, shut up. That's so cool.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. It was just like a framed clear plexi thing that had like letters on it. And it spelled out the worst because that's like his most well-known quote.
But yeah.
Each letter was like a different part of his career painted that way.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So like he did a movie with Billy Crystal, which I had never heard about. But
sure.
That's one of the letters.
Probably from forever ago because this one's the last movie he's done.
Yeah. I don't know. Actually, I don't think it was that long ago.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Interesting.
I'm not sure. Within the last 5 years, I'm willing to bet.
Okay.
Maybe last 10.
Gotcha.
Probably last 10 now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, he did a lot of voice acting. Like he did, he actually did BB-8 for Star Wars with Bill Hader.
Okay, yeah.
So I don't know what that entailed, but a bunch of bleep loops. But
for you know, hours on end.
I just thought it was cool that he got to do like a character with Bill Hader.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I wonder if they got to be in the same room at the same time because that seems like that would be really fun. I just want to be friends with Bill.
I feel like people clear their schedules for Star Wars, you know? They're like, oh, I can't make it. I'll zoom in today. It's like, no, you're going to be on set for Star Wars. Yeah.
Yeah. They're both just dressed up like their character as they're doing the voice. Like, oh man, that'd be awesome.
I think I have to see what this person's face looks like because I am like, I know who you're talking about.
Ben Schwartz.
Yeah. This guy. Oh yeah. He's not super familiar looking, but I know I've seen this dude before.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome.
He was extremely nice.
Yeah.
And it was really cool because he was like, wow, this is the best gift that I've ever gotten from like a venue. Like it's personal.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, that's so nice. I'm like, oh, well, you know, anytime that you're back here, hopefully they ask me to do your gift again. I'll make you something new. And he's like looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Like,
was it stand up or improv?
It was improv.
Okay.
He had like a couple other people with him.
Cool.
But I didn't recognize any of them.
Gotcha, yeah.
Besides from like his Instagram. I don't know what other stuff they were in. One of them was a writer for something and I can't remember what it was, but yeah.
Cool. Well, now what? Like, so if you're like, if that was going on for a while, what's the new phase or what's the, or what happened next?
Yeah. So like ADHD at its finest,
yeah, yeah.
Like I just got to learn something new every 2 seconds
because
I can't calm down. So like actually same gig turned into another love of mine. So Tedeschi Trucks Band was one of the first things that I made for Warner Theater. And I had to make like 13 different gifts because they have a million people in the band.
Yeah.
And if you're not familiar with Tedeschi Trucks, I think, I can't remember what the lead female vocalist's name is, but I think she's in Grateful Dead or something tangent.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't listen to that kind of music, so I'm not totally.
Yeah, I'm familiar-ish. I know who Derek Trucks is, but you know. And then
I want to say it's Susan.
Okay. I want to say that they're married, but I don't know that either. So I'm just throwing out rumors.
I can't remember.
Yeah.
But they were like, yeah, so we got to think of 13 things for you to make that can fall in this budget. And I'm like, crap. What do I do? Okay, what kind of instruments do they play? And I'm like, hold on. I'm going to find a bunch of broken instruments and make things out of them.
Cool.
So that's where I'm at now.
Okay.
That's my biggest, like, interest. So
that theme in general or broken things, there's it's like you're
repurposing instruments and things of the like.
Okay.
That turned into a lot of different stuff for me, and that's a very active part of my life now.
Okay.
I'm constantly just picking up odds and ends, and people will hit me up and be like, I got a piano that I need you to come get. And I'm like, cool, I'm there. Like, I'll come bust it apart and like take care of this for you. So I made them a bunch of things out of piano parts, mainly like hammers and keys. And then I made like a acoustic guitar body with like flowers and stuff for, I think her name was Susan, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
And it was just like a nice little spread to present. And like they all had a plaque on them that said sold out Warner Theater Tedeschi Trucks Band. And, you know, like it, I heard it went over well. So I was like, wow, this is like something I've never really seen much of before. I've got to get weird with this.
Yeah.
So like it started off really plain and just like, here's some keys on a piece of wood that are glued together.
Mm-hmm.
And now I make like mandalas.
Oh, cool.
Out of them.
Yeah.
And actually, this is what's crazy. People that are in the same niche like thing as me are finding me on Instagram now. And they're like, holy shit, another person that's doing the thing. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, you know, you think you have an original idea.
Sure.
But it's really cool because there's only a couple of us.
Yeah. And but now you're a community now in a way.
Yeah. And there was a community for chalk art, too. It's how I met one of my favorite people, Tanya. Like, it is a whole thing. Like, art, culture, and, like, the whole world behind, like, each different medium, each has its own little, like, world where you could just literally sit down for hours, like, with Tanya. Her and I would just, like, on the phone, like, oh, yeah, did you ever do this before? Oh, yeah, I always blend it that way. And people are just like, why are you guys talking about chalk? Who cares? And it's like, dude, I get her.
Yeah.
Like, we understand what this technique takes. Like, it takes time.
Yeah.
And, like, the fact that we had some similar techniques when we met each other in person, we were like, oh, like, it's just really cool. So, like, I haven't met any other people that repurpose pianos and instruments yet, but, I mean, holla at your girl. Let's make some shit.
Do you have a place to store all these, like, materials? Or do your roommates hate you?
So right now, everything is in the attic and the shed. Don't know how they feel about it, but I will tell you, my last relationship, that guy hated me. Everything was just in the kitchen, in the shed. Like, it was a problem. But, you know, I mean, I was not really sure how much space it would take. So when we got our place, I didn't really know what kind of a, like, space to look for when we were searching. Because I hadn't done that stuff until we moved into that spot.
Okay.
And then eventually it was just like project, 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 piano keys, pieces, pieces,
yeah.
You know, but now I know what I'm getting myself into and I've got to have a she shed or something. But yeah, it's a hot mess, but.
That's cool. Are you working on anything in that genre currently or in that medium?
So yes and no.
Okay.
Like right now I'm really focused on the wood shop stuff and like learning how to use different tools that I've never worked with, especially like the steel. I want to learn how to weld so that eventually I can work on things with piano strings and like welding parts.
Yeah.
Because piano strings do not bend easily. I mean, they bend, but they don't stay.
Sure. Okay.
So I, you know, if I can figure out how to weld with whatever that is that copper? Is that, what is that? I don't know what they're made out of.
Oh, that's a good question. I don't either. Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm not sure. But, you know, the kind of welding I'm going to be learning is aluminum and steel. So
okay.
I'll have to figure out how to work with other things on my own time. But basically, like, I've got 3 pianos lined up to be dissected right now, 2 of which are happening within the month probably, and 1 is to be determined. It's actually someone that I reached out to in a band, which I don't know if I should say their name because I don't know if they want me to put them on blast.
Sure. I can always bleep stuff too. But yeah, that's cool if a band hits you up.
Okay. Well, then I'll just say it.
Yeah.
Because then we can get rid of it later.
Yeah.
So yeah, I reached out to and I was like, hey, long shot, but do you guys have any broken or used like guitar strings, bass strings, whatever, any instrumental stuff that is broken that you want to, you know, part with because I want to make you something out of them.
Yeah.
Then we started talking about me making something for the and I want to make them something out of like something that I can like give to the band.
Sure.
And then he was like, I got a baby grand. You want to dissect that? And I'm like, yeah. What do you mean? Yes.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And have you dissected a piano before? Does that just entail like taking a sledgehammer to it?
Yes and no. So every single time that I've made something out of pianos, it's been busted apart in some manner.
Okay.
So like, there's certain parts that have, you know, like screws and stuff that you can undo.
Sure.
I always bring my tools, a Dremel, whatever, and just kind of like hack away.
Yeah.
But there's some point where it's like, oh, this is like the shitty part. Like you could just like bang it out.
Uh-huh.
Get an axe or sledge, whatever. You know, some of the parts like the legs, like they're not really as usable because they might be chipped or, you know, not complete. Like some of the legs are broken generally. Like if it's a broken piano, it's not going to be in great condition.
Sure.
Not all the keys are going to be pretty, you know. So you just take everything and then, you know, whatever you can salvage out of it.
Sure.
Because a lot of the time with the broken pianos, they're really old and people didn't keep up with them. So they're really dusty inside.
Yeah, and like the keys are yellow and stuff like that. Yeah.
Which I don't mind so much, but you know, if it's like something that's going to be like a pair of earrings or something, like I'll have to figure out how to clean those better.
Gotcha.
But I haven't done that yet. I made myself a pair and they were really itchy because of the felt. So I was like, nah, let's not mass produce this.
Yeah. I'm assuming you have to like, you're cutting the keys like in half or whatever. You're like breaking them down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Depending on the design, like a lot of the time for the mandalas, like I'll start with a circular piece of wood and then I'll lay out the keys to see how many I can fit. And then I'll like lay out the design first. So I'll get like the damper parts and the hammers and like move them around
and
see what looks nice together. And then I'll cut.
Yeah.
Because I don't know how long I want things to be or whatever.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like sand stuff down, glue it down, tack it in, whatever.
What is the, I mean, are you visualizing for a while before you start kind of being tactile, or is it sort of a evolution of a process where it's sort of happening simultaneously?
Like, what do you mean?
Like by tactile? Do you kind of come up with sort of an end goal, an end result, and then work towards that? Or do you just sort of start moving things around and go, oh, this looks cool, and it just sort of evolves organically?
It depends.
Yeah.
Because depending on who it's for, what it's for, how much time I have.
Uh-huh.
What the pieces look like. I mean, sometimes you've really got to be picky choosy because some of that stuff doesn't look great.
Okay.
But a lot of it does look great. So there's a lot to work with, but it just depends on like what you've got to work with. And, you know, for example, like when I started doing the mandalas, I kind of figured out the formula. Like I figured out how I start.
Yeah.
And that helps everything.
Cool. Because
then at a point you're just like, all right, I already know I'm going to lay all these out. Mm-hmm. Okay, now I'm going to lay these down after the fact and like make the design.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah.
It depends. Like when I did the Boy Genius mural, so basically like that was audio cables and guitar and bass strings.
Okay.
For that.
Yeah.
That one took a little bit to figure out because I didn't have very much time to execute it, but I had to submit a video so that like Universal, what is Universal Records?
Like music group?
No, Interscope.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So it's under the same umbrella.
Sure.
UMG, Interscope.
Yeah.
They like wanted me to submit a video to like show them what I was going to make so that they could approve or deny.
Uh-huh.
They approved it. They picked mine.
Yeah.
And they wanted their album cover for Boy Genius, the record. They wanted the same image, but like in your own way. And they did it in a couple different cities.
Okay, cool.
And, you know, most people, it seemed like they did paintings, like a mural or whatever. And I was like, I want to be the favorite. I want them to touch it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like,
it was really cool because, like, you can still go there and, like, it's a physical touch thing. Like, it's got dimension. But, like, yeah, at first I was like, how do I make this work and actually, like, make it so that all these elements will actually stay? It's got to be like weatherproof, basically, which I think it's actually kind of coming apart right now. It's been through a lot since last March.
Where is it?
It's outside of Soundgarden.
Oh, okay. Cool.
It's in the parking pad.
Yeah.
But yeah, for that, like especially figuring out where the actual guitar string and bass strings can go. Mm-hmm. That was a little tough because like the strings can only be so bendy.
Gotcha.
And like stick in a position. So yeah, I had to get picky choosy about like how I cut it and did the design. But yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm kind of curious. We didn't even start talking about like Charm City, Goosebumps, or Ghostbusters, which like I don't really know about either. As I'm assuming Charm City, Goosebumps is like your brainchild. Is that your thing? Yeah. Like how'd that start?
So actually, there was a Mondo event at Auto Bar, and I think Rosalind was the one. Yeah, I'm pretty sure Roz was the one that hit me up and said, hey, like, would you like to vend this? Like, I think you'd be perfect for it. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't have any content for like a cult movie night thing. Like,
okay,
cult classics. Like, I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do. And then I was just kind of like bopping through like Netflix or whatever. And I was like, oh my God, Baltimore themed Goosebumps. Oh my God. And then of course, like just started popping off and like I went through and oh yeah, this and then this, and then you've got to do this one. Like it just kind of exploded.
Yeah.
So it started out with Slappy Bow, like Slappy, but Natty Bow.
Yeah.
And then just kind of has been, you know, like I'm taking my time with it. I haven't really had as much time, but there are new, there's actually an idea for, I want to say 50 out of the 62 original books.
Wow.
So I've already got the titles. I just got to make them.
Yeah.
So.
And these are.
Covers.
Are they accurate to like the dimensions of the original Goosebumps?
So like they're not like the size of the book.
Yeah.
But the, you know, like the posters are 11 by 17. So I mean, it translates kind of well to the book size, like if you shrunk it down.
Sure. Okay.
But it's like very, like the sizing of everything is about the same. Like the, some of the fonts are very similar or if not the same.
Yeah.
You know, I just went on like Goosebumps Wiki and like looked up what all the fonts were and just like used the actual ones. But the actual logo, like it's all redrawn letters. So none of them are like the actual Goosebumps thing, like, but it looks exactly like it. But none of them are the same as the letters. So hopefully I can't get in trouble. Tim Jacobus has already seen my stuff and he likes it. And he like autographed some stuff for me because my friend showed it to him. And I was like, why would you do that? How dare you? What if he was like going to come after me and be like, you're doing whatever. And he was just like, no, this is really cool. I love fan art. And I'm like,
I'm assuming they're the illustrator.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yep.
Yeah,
all of my stuff is based on the actual like book itself. So like I try to change enough about it so it's Baltimore, but like it's still, you can still tell what book it is.
Yeah.
Like one of my favorite ones, there's a couple actually, because I had to be in love with the idea to draw it first.
Sure.
Say Hun and Die. It's supposed to be Say Cheese and Die.
Yeah.
But it's like Huns with like their, they got like their big hair, the dresses, the glasses, and then they have flamingos in the yard and like their lemon and peppermint stick candies and like the treat and stuff like that, like the egg custard snowball and stuff like that. So yeah, like there's just like cute little hints in each design.
Yeah, yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So how many have you made so far? You said there's going to be 50.
There's like 10 or 11 made so far.
Okay.
Yeah. I kind of slacked off the last year, to be honest.
Okay.
The last one that I made was for Peabody Heights, and it wasn't based on one of the books, but it was actually like a commission. I was hired to like draw this design for a can for a beer release.
Okay.
And I made them their own personal like cover, the Haunted Tap Room. I'm really proud of that one. I feel like my graphic skills really shined on that one. Like I'm getting better the more I do them. So I feel like I'm going to end up wanting to go back and editing some of the old ones. I did a trash wheel one. It's like the blob that ate everyone, but it was the trash wheel that ate everyone.
Okay.
It's just like an angry trash wheel. It's so cute.
That's awesome.
But it still looks all cute.
He's cute, but dangerous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like I also collect a lot of like the old like 90s stuff. So like okay. It's kind of like I have a little museum. Whenever I do a setup, I bring my masks and
Oh yeah.
I have like I have some pogs that one of my friends gave to me. Like he also gave me some of the cards that were like already opened, so I didn't have to open up the packs that I had that were unopened.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was Grant. Thank you, Grant. You know, just in case my friends listen to this, I don't know.
Yeah, for sure.
But it's awesome. Like I wear the masks sometimes. One of them is very, very like dusty because it's like it's from a new company, so they like put stuff inside of it to preserve it.
Yeah.
Whatever, and it straight got in my eyes, and I was like, "Wow, I'm never wearing that one again." But the old one, like I have one that's a Horrorland horror, mm-hmm. and it's a child's mask, but it fits perfectly like over my chin, and I'm like, "Hey, I'm a little kid." Yeah. I have to wear my glasses with it though, so I put it on top.
Yeah.
So stupid.
It's also like weirdly more terrifying because it's like form fitting, you know?
Yeah. It is like really tight.
Yeah. So what's up with the Ghostbusters then? What is the deal? I mean, yeah.
So Charm City Ghostbusters, it's kind of cool because some of the people in the group are actually like involved in paranormal groups mm-hmm. and they actually do bust ghosts.
Okay.
I don't know if they necessarily bust ghosts, but I mean, there's a few stories that they could tell you that'll make your spine tingle. But I don't know. I thought that was pretty cool. I didn't realize that any of them had actually done that.
Okay.
When I got in the group, I just thought, oh, yeah, this is like a cosplay group. We're just going to have fun.
And you haven't done any actual ghost hunting, busting?
So I've had my own personal experiences with ghosts, but I am hoping to join one of the groups soon.
Cool.
One of my fellow Ghostbusters was like, you know what? Screw it. Come on. You can carry the equipment. And I'm like, cool. I'll do that. Like,
that's
I don't mind.
Hilarious.
I'll be your, like, lackey, whatever. Uh-huh. Like, if I could just come for the experience, like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm curious to see what it's about. I mean, beyond that, I actually have some pretty cool news. So, Ghostbusters Day this year is in June. It's in New York. And all the Ghostbusters from around the world all come, like, all the different franchises and, like, the people who...
Yeah.
Commit to it like we do, and it's just like a huge get together kind of parade-ish thing. I don't know if it's so parade-y, but there was a contest this year where they're making like a deck of cards with like all the different logos from each different state that has one.
Yeah,
and ours got second place.
Whoa.
Yeah, out of like 89.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So we have like the Bo ghost. It's like Natty Bo, but it's a ghost.
Cool.
And it's got like the no symbol, but it's like the Maryland flag in the background.
Okay.
Which I did not design that.
Gotcha. I was going to ask.
That was like well before my time that was designed.
Yeah.
One of the Ghostbusters actually has it tattooed on him.
Oh, very cool.
But yeah, I mean, so that was really cool. The people who got first place are from overseas. So we're technically like... number one in the United States. So cool though. We have a lot of support. A lot of the things that we do are conventions, but we also do like charities. Sadly enough, one of the Ghostbusters actually committed suicide a little while back before I was in the group. Mm-hmm. And they do the suicide prevention walk every year. And basically, like, anytime that we make T-shirt sales and stuff like that, the proceeds either go to the suicide prevention walk or most of it goes to charity.
So you have multiple cars?
There's three in our group.
Wow.
Yeah, and they're all from different eras of the movies.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So there's one for the girls' movie, too.
Yeah, that's cool.
Which I don't ever want to watch. I've never seen that one. I don't want to.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I should want to, but I don't.
So are the Ghostbusters pretty active? Like, do you have anything coming up?
Yeah. So they just did Farpoint Convention. I was not in attendance for that one. But there's like always so many different conventions going on. You know, I could be selfish for a second and talk about my birthday party. So March 29th, I'm having a party at Auto Bar, but it's not necessarily all just about the birthday. It's to celebrate the Ghostbusters. You know, you don't have to know me to come. It's really just like a celebration of busting. So like we're going to have an ecto there. We're going to set up. Everybody's going to be in their gear wearing like the flight suits and have the proton packs and everything. There's going to be like photo opportunities and stuff like that. And you don't want to make Vigo mad because he will yell at you. So yeah, I don't know. That's upstairs at Auto Bar from 6 to 9 on March 29th.
Hell yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. So you can come meet the Charm City Ghostbusters. Yeah, we'll just be getting down. We usually do like the charities and conventions and stuff. So it's just like all business, but we're actually trying to like relax and have a good time here. So it'll be really fun. Let loose.
Take some of the edge off all that ghostbusting. Yeah. All that stressful ghostbusting you're always doing. So
if you want to come, I mean, you don't have to dress up, but, you know, you could always just, like, wear a sheet with two holes in it, and we'll just, like, bust that ghost.
Just beat the shit out of you and send you on your way. What happened to you? I got ghost busted tonight.
Like the new movie is coming out too. So like the week before my party, the movie premieres.
Oh, that's
so
hopefully that's we're like perfect. Yeah.
Right. We're all gonna have like the new ghost trap popcorn buckets, like man, swag. I can't wait.
I didn't even realize you could get that kind of information so far in advance of the movie. There's going to be that kind of gear at the thing. So.
Yeah, there's, well, I don't know how much everybody knows about it, but right. I'm in all of the forums for ghostbusting things. So there was also like a Slimer cup and there's like Slimer bucket too, but the ghost trap popcorn bucket.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm actually really excited for a lot of things with the Ghostbusters, but I really want to make a slime blower. Nobody in our group has made one yet.
Okay.
It's like one of the packs.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. We're going to be doing a lot of parades and stuff. Like we always do stuff for the Mayor's Day, like Christmas parade and in Hamden, and in the summertime, like we do 4th of July and stuff like that. We do a couple different locations, but there's like always things going on, and we have like presence on social media and everything. And we post like when we're doing things.
Cool.
Yeah.
Sweet. Well, I think we're like just about wrapped up, you know.
Sweet.
Yeah. I really like appreciate you coming by and sharing all your like info. You know, part of doing this show is to get to know people better. And there's just so many creative people in town, and there's just always so many interesting people to talk to. And so, yeah, this was cool because like I didn't know any of that. So
awesome.
I really appreciate your time. And that's it. Is there anything else you want to plug besides your birthday, or is it just kind of
I don't know. I mean,
I feel like I have to play out the Ghostbusters theme song now.
Yeah. Do it.
What is it? Ray Parker, right?
Yeah.
Ray Parker Jr. Yeah. Classic. So.
Hell yeah. Or you could, your love is taking me higher.
Yeah, and there's the Bobby Brown song too.
That one's my favorite though. That's the best one.
Too hot to handle, too cold.
Hell yeah.
Sweet.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, of course, thank you.
All right. Too hot to handle, too cold to hold. They called the Ghostbusters and the end control. Had a throwing party.